you could pray for me, that God will give me utterance, and that the Spirit will have liberty to move and to touch and to edify, to bless, to revive, to restore. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your presence today. Lord, we ask for an anointing for this word, Lord God, that it will bless, that it will go forth, Lord God, that it will be not my words, but what you want us to hear today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, created for your glory. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. You know, there's so much going on around the world, and we're so grateful to have our friends from Benton Harbor over there come to visit us from Michigan. Amen. There is so much going on around the world today that it's so easy to take our eyes off of what we are called to be. It's so easy to get taken away and just bogged down with the cares of life and to forget what you were created to be. Do you know that God created you for a special purpose? There is not another like you. Look around in here. There's not another like you. You are special. You are unique. You were created for God's glory. Did you know that? You were created for God's glory. God took the time to design your soul specially, uniquely. There is not another like you. You were created for a purpose. And sometimes we get so bogged down with the cares of life, with all the things we got to do, just surviving, that we forget that we were created for a purpose. I have a purpose. I don't know about you, but God created us for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Do you understand that God has a plan for your life? That God has something that he created you to be, for something he created you to achieve? And yet so many times we get so depressed, so down, so fearful of life and all the things that we have to face, instead of understanding that you were created specially, that you are unique. There is not another like you. Amen. Some people would say that's a good thing. But you know, God had a purpose in designing you. It says in the Psalms, it says, for my parts were fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes we look at God and we said, Lord, we ask the question, why? Why are we here, Lord? Why did you allow this to happen? And we let Satan deceive us and think that we have no more plan, that he has no more destiny for us. But God has a destiny for you. You have a much bigger purpose than you know. Your destiny is not your job. It is not a career. It is not just surviving day to day. God has a purpose for your life. It's not having a husband. It's not being a wife. It's not being a mother. Your destiny is greater than those things. If we could only see, if God could open our eyes, if we could just get a glimpse. The last song was about heaven, right? Your presence is heaven to me. If God gave each of us a glimpse of what his destiny, his plan for us, how much would that change your outlook? How much would you be able to endure what you're going through? If you got a glimpse of heaven, if you got to see the wonders, if you got to see the streets of gold, if you got to see the heavenly city, if you got to see what God has planned for your life. This is not life, by the way. This is the birth. In Romans 8, it says, for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption and the appearance of the sons of God. All we are right now is going through it. This is just going through it. You were created for something so much greater, so much better. Your destiny is not what you're doing right now. Jesus walked along the shores of Galilee and he saw some fishermen and he said, I have something better for you. I have something greater for you. I have a destiny that you won't even understand right now. All you have to do is put down what you're doing and follow me. The Bible says this amazing thing. It says immediately. Come on, let's say that together. Immediately. It said they left their nets and started to follow him. What faith. Imagine if someone walks by you and says, just follow me. I've got something great for you. First thing we would say is, do I know you? Where do I know you from? I'm telling you, God has got a destiny for each and every one of us that is so much greater than we can even see or understand at this time. See, this body is not my destiny. I found that there's gray hairs grow on your eyebrows. Nobody told me that. Nobody said that. I understood beards and stuff, but eyebrows? It's hard to dye those, you know. This body is not my destiny, because the Bible says we're all going to grow old. The song that we sing at funerals, change and decay and all around I see, but thou who changest not, abide with me. This is not my destiny. Your destiny is not to grow old and die. Did you know that? This body is made of dust. And to dust it will go back. It's going to be given over like everything else that is physical to decay. This is not my destiny. This body is not going to get better. All of you who are over 18, let me just tell you a secret you didn't know. Your bodies are not getting better. It's not improving. It's not like wine. It doesn't get better with age. It's given over to die. God said in Genesis, lest they put forth their hands and eat of the tree of life and live forever. It's God's plan to give us something better. He has got a better plan. He has got a greater destiny. He's got a future that we can't even imagine. Because we were created for his glory. I know you say yes, but even I don't really truly understand what that means. All I know is that God created us so that he could be proud of us. All of you who have children understand when you're proud of your children. God created us to achieve something, not just to be his children, but he created us for a destiny and a plan that is so much greater than the lives you are living now. See, when we talk about earthly things, we get so bogged down. Our eyes are set on the earth. The Bible tells us to do what? Look up. Look up. When we look down, all we're going to do is get discouraged, get fearful, have anxiety attacks. This is not our destiny. You know, if I was a moth crawling around, I'd just be waiting for the day when I change into a butterfly. I'd be looking and say, today's the day I'm going to change into a butterfly. God has called us for greater things. This is not my destiny. The things you're doing now is not your destiny, are not your destiny. 2 Corinthians 5:1 tells us this. It says, for we know. There goes those words again. We know. Do you know? Do you know your destiny? Do you know what you've been called to? Do you know that God has got a love and a feelings that you have not yet experienced? We think we know what love is, right? There's a song with those words. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this tent, a tabernacle was just something temporary. It was something you put up to temporarily living. This is just a temporary tabernacle. We're dissolved. We have a building, not a tent. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus in John 14 told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I have a greater destiny for you. Some of us, we don't think that there is much in our future, especially when you get to about, you know, 40s, 50s, and you haven't made your first million yet. You know, when you're in high school, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be some great person. But as you get older, your sights start to get lower. You start to get more realistic. You start to focus on what's achievable. What I want to tell you is you're looking too low. Your destiny is not down here. Your destiny is up there. For we know, do you know? Do you know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved? Yesterday, as I was coming back from PI over in Oak Creek, I was coming down this road, and I got to the stop sign, and here comes a funeral procession. And so they turned right, and I had to wait, and I had to wait, and I had to wait. It was a long procession. Whoever that was, they had a lot of people attending their service. Now, it may be that when each of us go, it may not be a big funeral. But I tell you what, when we get on the other side, the angels are going to line up. The angels are going to sing praises. They're going to say, "Welcome home. I want to hear those words, thou good and faithful servant. My destiny is not down here." No matter how well I do, I was thanking God in the Sunday school because I got a really good review and I didn't deserve it. But really, even after that, the review that I really want, the review that's important, is when he says, "Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant." See, there is a part of you that is infinitely more precious than this thing. As I said in Sunday school, man looks at this, but God is looking at your heart. Where is your treasure today? Where are you thinking? Where do you want to be? I tell you where I want to be. I want to be out of here. There's nothing down here I want. Nothing down here I want. I'm just using the stuff temporarily. But God has got a greater plan. There is a destiny that he has promised us. There is a future that he has talked about. There is something greater in your future. Genesis 1:27. You see, the destiny that God had for Adam was so much greater. So God created man in his own image. We don't really understand what that means. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Do you understand that the important part of you is not what you can see, but it's what's inside of you? There is a part of you that was created in the image of God. In other words, it's your spirit man, it's your soul. That part of you is so valuable. It's the part that is your essence, the part of you that is you. This vessel is going to go. This vessel will decay. Any of you over 50, just go and look at your high school graduation pictures. You will notice there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference. God has created you for something greater. Never forget that. When you're tied down in all the things of life, the bills, the relationships, never forget what you were created to be. See, God had created you to be in relationship with him. He is to be the lover of your soul. There is a part of you that no man or woman can fulfill. Let me just tell you that. As much as I love my wife, I know there's times I do not please her. Amen. And there's probably just a little few times, just a tiny few times, when maybe she doesn't please me. And although we've been married now 45 years and that's something, nothing will satisfy your soul except Jesus. There is a part that we were created to be. There is a destiny that we're supposed to have that can only be satisfied by a relationship with Jesus. Because we were created in his image and his likeness. God's destiny for us is to be back in the garden. Do you understand that? As I said in Sunday school, he put the cherubim to guard the way back into the garden. But when he died, the curtain, the veil was separated. In Hebrews 9, it tells us that while all that ceremony was going on, there was no way back. All of that had to go. And when Jesus died and he ripped and he bowed his head and he said, "It is finished," it meant your destiny could be fulfilled. It meant that you could inherit eternal life. Do you understand that the will in the New Testament doesn't get read, doesn't come into force in Hebrews till the person who wrote it dies? But thanks be to God when he said it is finished. Telestai, paid in full. What I don't deserve was given to me for free. A new destiny, a new vision, a new hope. This is not my hope. This is not my plan. You know, I have to interview people. And one of the questions I'm supposed to ask is, where will you be in 5 years' time? Don't ask me that. Because I know what I'm going to tell you. I hope to be with the Lord. Now, I'm not looking to die, but I hope I hear those words that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I preach that message, we that remain. We that remain and are alive. That's my destiny. This is not my destiny. I'm not looking to get rich. I'm just using what God has provided. I'm just trying to get until I hear that trumpet sound. God has called each and every one of you for such a great destiny. Something so unbelievable, you won't even be able to understand it yet. 1 John 3:1 explains a little bit. It says, behold. That means pay attention, have a look, try and understand people. Wake up. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we, see, we don't really understand. Because people have been taught for so many years that there's God, then there comes the angels. Well, there's God, then there's Satan. People put him way up there. I want to tell you that's a lie. So we're taught when we, you know, God is up here, then there's Satan, then there's the angels, and way down here is you and me. But that's not what we were created to be. Oh no, we were the only ones created in his image and in his likeness. And in the book of John, John is trying to explain and get it into our thick heads how much God loves us. And if we could understand and not listen to the lies of Satan. Behold, what manner, he's trying to say, you can't even grasp it, the love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Do you understand who Jesus was? He was God in the flesh. Amen? Now, listen to what Jesus says and see if you can grasp what he's saying. In John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus prayed, but I want you to pay attention to how he prayed. Speaking of us, he said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Do you grasp what that's trying to tell you? That you can be in that closer relationship with the King of, that you can be one with God, that his spirit can dwell in you? Solomon couldn't understand it. When he built this marvelous temple overlaid with gold, inside pure gold, he looked at it and he said, could God dwell in anything made with hands? And the answer is no. You cannot make your own temple. Oh no, Solomon built the most beautiful thing that has ever been built. And he asked the question, can God actually dwell in anything made with hands? The answer is no. But David knew the secret. He said, create in me a clean heart. When God creates in you a new image, a new creation, he's giving you the opportunity for a new destiny, a new life. Now, when Jesus prayed in John 7, he said that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In the very prayer that he taught his disciples, as I've said so many times, it starts out with a revelation. He says, our Father. Do you understand where that puts you? Who was Jesus? God. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation so that he could bring us up. The Bible says we are seated even now in heavenly places. Right now there's angels in this place. You just can't see it. I absolutely know that. The Holy Spirit surrounds this place because the Bible declares he encampeth about them that what? Hallelujah. We are called for such a destiny. I'm trying to lift your vision today. I want you to take your mind off what you got to do tomorrow. I want to take your mind off the bills. I want to take your mind off whatever relationships trouble you're in. I want you to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Your purpose is much greater. Your calling is much greater. Your reward is going to be so much better. Do you understand? And I'm trying to get you to see a vision today. God has called you to be joint heirs. Joint heirs. You understand? It'd be like Bill Gates saying he's going to adopt you, put you in his will. You all understand that, don't you? Even just a little bit would be a lot. You know, I think he's worth 100 billion. That's 100 with 90s. So even a little bit would be a lot. Do you understand that we are adopted into a family that is so much greater? Your destiny is not to be some person down here. Your destiny is to be a king and priest. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 says this. And they sung a new song. I started writing a song this week. I'm making my wife sick because I just keep playing it over and over and over and over. She finally said, could you put on the headphones? I got caught up in some worship and I just kept playing the same song over and over. And she finally said, could you put on some headphones? And then I kept on worshiping. God gave me some words. We're going to get to sing a new song. And the song is only going to be known. It's going to be the number one hit in heaven. It's not on Billboard charts yet. Because it's a reserved song. You can't play this song. You can't sing this song. But it is in your destiny. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals there, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of kindred and tongue, people. You know who's speaking? It's the 24 kings, the 24 elders. You know who they represent? They represent your destiny. They had thrones. They were sitting on thrones. And they said, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Verse 10 is the one I want you to really pick up on. And hast made us, made who? You. Made me. Made you unto our God, what? Kings and priests. Do you understand that's your destiny? Now, if you believe that, you'd walk out of here a little bit taller. You don't know who I am. You know, when famous people get stopped by the police, the first thing they say is, do you know who I am? You need to, when you get stopped by Satan, tell him, do you know who I am? When the devil comes by with his squad car to pull you over, you need to tell him, do you know who I am? Because some of us start to quiver and shake. Some of us get too quiet. We need to tell him, do you know who I am? I mean, that's what rich people do when they get pulled over. Like it should mean something. They know who you are. The demons said, well, Peter we know and Paul we know, but who are you? You were created for greatness. Do you understand? And I was teaching this yesterday, and I don't want to get into teaching, but there were four creatures created, right? The seraphim, the cherubim, the man, and the lion. And each one of them are called cherubim, which means guardians. Our guardianship was for God's glory. I don't know if you get it, but God has put his glory. That's why Adam and Eve were not naked. They were covered with the Shekinah glory of God. All you could see was light. My mother was once asked what she's going to look like in heaven. She says, you're not going to be able to see me. Because all you're going to see is light. I believe right now that's where she is. And all I'm going to see is light. Didn't Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You were created for glory. You were created for greatness. You were created to be a king and a priest. Let me prove it to you in 1 Corinthians 11, 7. To prove to you that man was created to be the holder, recipient of God's glory. He said, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as that he is the image. God never told any angels that. He didn't tell any archangels that. He is saying you, are the image. Now, not this vessel, but the one he's preparing. He's going to take your soul that he created. And do you understand that when he created it, it was in perfection? God can't do any second best. He is the master workman. Your soul was created in perfection. The problem is the vessel that it's in right now. And that's why Jesus died, so our sins and this vessel could be associated with his death. So that when he comes or we die, this is going to be put into a new vessel. For he says in 1 Corinthians 11:7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Now, just to show you that Paul was not trying to be sexist, he goes on later to say in verse 11 of the same chapter, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. I'm afraid we can't do without you. And neither the woman without the man in the Lord. In the Lord, right? For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God. You were created for greatness. You were created to be a king and a priest. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are going to reign and rule. As I said, next time the devil pulls you over, just tell him, do you know who I am? I am a child of the king. You better move on with your blue light. You don't have to give me any warning, Satan, because you don't know, I might get you fired. We were created for greatness. If you could stand with me, I said I wouldn't be long. I will finish with the verse I started with. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. There is a condition here, though. Even every one of you that is what? Called by my name. See, if you're going to be a king and priest, if you're going to be a son of God, you've got to be in the family. Outsiders cannot inherit. Oh no, this is reserved exclusively for those in the family. Even everyone that is called by my name. And here is God's word again. For I have created him for my glory. Yea, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Those three creative words were done in Genesis. In chapter 1, he creates out of nothing. In chapter 2, he forms. And then the last thing he did, he made. He breathed his covering spirit. And the Bible says man became a living soul. What I'm trying to tell you, that in Christ you're a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are made new. Don't let the devil deceive you this week. You need to pull some rank on him. Reveal who you really are. You know, do like some rich people when they get pulled over. Do you know who I am? You don't know who I am, devil, but my Father is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're messing with the wrong person. Better move along. You see, the Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he can't devour you, because he only devours those he can. Seeking whom he may devour. See, that's why it's bad to be on the trailing edge of the herd. You need to be in the middle of the pack, or better still, leading it. You were created for greatness. You were created for God's glory. The week before he was going to be crucified, Jesus revealed something to three of his senior disciples. He said, come up here. The Bible said he took them up. It was a symbol of the rapture. And then when he got on top of the mountain, you know what he did? The Bible said he transfigured. He showed what a son of God really looks like. That's why later he said, when he was praying in John 17, he said, I have manifested myself. thy name. You know that word in the Greek, phanero, it means I've made plain who I am and what they are to be. The scripture says that in his death he brought many sons to glory. When he disrobed his flesh, they couldn't even look at him. Do you understand? That's what we are called to. That's who you are. The Bible says when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be in the likeness, his same likeness. You need to walk out here with your chest held high and your nose up in there as far as Satan is concerned. You absolutely do need to do that. You need to tell him, get off my back. You don't know who I am. I might mess you up. You all understand that word. When bad people talk, that's what they say. Well, we need to be bad as far as the devil is concerned spiritually. We need to tell him, don't you know who I am? I am finishing, but just one more word I want to say. God was able to say to Satan, don't you know who Job is? No matter what you do to him, you can't mess him up because he loves me. He believes me. He knows who he is. And he was able to declare, listen, Satan, even though this body dies, one day I am going to be resurrected and I'm going to see him for myself. The Bible says, again, when we see him, we shall be like him. Doesn't that blow your mind? That means you're going to look transfigured just like Jesus. Whenever he says, come up. I'm closing this service. If you want prayer or if you want to stay where you are, I want you to focus this week on looking up. Your redemption is not down there. It says, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. God has got bigger things than this for you. He's about to come and call your name. He's about to open the skies. Your name is about to be dropped in the halls of heaven. He said, if you confess my name down here, I'm going to confess your name up there. Your name is about to be called. I'm closing this service, but you were created for greater things. You were created for his glory. You were created for the Shekinah glory to be on you. Right now it's inside of you. That's why you can't see it. But one day we're going to be transfigured. The Bible says those that remain and are alive shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then we shall all be caught up together to meet him in the air. And we shall reign as kings and priests. In the Old Testament, that wasn't allowed. You had your king and you had your priest. God reserves something better for us. That's what it says in Hebrews. It said, all these died having not received the promise. God having reserved a better thing. A better thing. You have been honored and blessed to be able to receive a better thing. A New Testament. Not an Old Testament, which was founded on animal sacrifices, but a New Testament that is founded on the blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. We're going to close this service. But you think about this. You meditate upon this. You were created for his glory. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you this day. Lord, we bow down before you. Lord, we ask right now for us to think and understand who you created us to be, why you called us, Lord, that our purpose is so much greater. Lord, we ask you, oh God, to let your spirit meditate in our hearts, Lord, to speak to us, Lord God, to let us know of your love, Lord, that you have declared what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, that we, that you, that I should be called a son of God. Lord, we ask you right now as we close this service, Lord God, as we pray, Lord Jesus, as we lift up your name, that we understand that you have called us to greatness. Hallelujah, church. If you